All right. Try to get that in the middle a little bit. There we go. Now we're in the middle. Could lower it just a little bit. There we go. There we go. So I have my headphones in, and I might take this hat off. I think I'll be warm enough. Or I'll put it this way. We'll see. Tell me if you can hear me. Okay. Okay. Audio is good. Texas boys! I got my Bluetooth. Good. Audio's good. Big whales on. How's it going in Texas boys land? It's getting cold here. I'm getting ready for hunting. Freezing. Growing the beard out. 80s and sunny. Why do you have to tell me that? So Andrew talked me into getting this French press. So I now call him Andre. And Andre talked me into getting this French press. Man, does it make good coffee. Good stuff. Does the echo sound the same in here as it did before, or is it different now? Yeah, because it's a little different. It's contained in me ears now. But anyway. Very slight echo. Or like Aaron used to make fun of me because I said it sounded echoey. Aaron thought that was funny. All right, good. So you see I'm between this awesome, massive, huge iron pillar up here to hoist engines, which the previous owner put in, which I thought was cool, which if I do it right, I'll take that hoist right there, and I will glide across it in here and have my own, yep, it does work. Actually, Jim, the other room deep behind this door lies the actual garage. The true holder of the secrets of the garage. But this is actually my office, and the people used it before. They used this as a gym. They had a private gym. This is my hidden bunker. They had a private gym in here, and the lady taught, like, you know, workout stuff to people in here. And all that good stuff. So that's what that was. But for me, it's insulated and has a cool lookout over here. So I can see out my garage door. And I can see him coming, Jimbo. I can see him coming. If you know what I'm saying, Jimbo. I can see him coming. Right? Huh? So anyway, the massive Coolio compound is almost complete. Not quite. But this I'm going to put all my books in, my office in, a recording studio in, and probably some other things that shall remain private. I do want to get a weightlifting set for right over there, though. Oh, yeah. I just maybe like a little Nautilus thing or something with a bench, like a bench and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to put that right there. I'm just waiting for people to get on here before I get started. And then I'm going to teach you some things out of the Bible here today that will be a blessing to you, hopefully. A punching bag? Yeah, I don't have a problem using a punching bag. Look, my cup is wore out. Anyway, absolutely no problem using a punching bag. Fun stuff. I used to have a heavy bag somewhere. I wonder what I did with that. Huh. No, I don't want to punch Steven Anderson. Look, Baptists do not punch heretics. Baptists preach to heretics. They warn against heretics. They do not punch heretics. Right? That's what makes us different than the Reformed people who punched heretics, who burned heretics. And let the record show that, never mind, I'm not going to say that. Carl Winters said, what if Coolio and Brian Dogslogger was in, and Steven Anderson were in a cage match? Well, that would never happen. Because I've given up me violent tendencies. And picked up the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Right? I'm giving those up. I don't have anything to do with those anymore. Those are all done and gone. I know somewhere in here lies somewhere. As you can see how absolutely organized I am. Somewhere. Well, wherever. It's not here. Anyway, how's everybody doing out there in YouTube land? Hope you're doing well. John Hippie. Jim. From parts unknown in Texas. Peter. Carl Winters, Mary. Teresa, I did not get a chance to call Daryl, but I need to call him. Listen, folks, here's what I got to do. We are going, Blaine Madeline, how are you? We have got to build a computer to process video, to stream video. Okay? And that can handle all the processing and editing and all those other things for the Southern Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, right? Right here. I will pray for you, Big Whale, a.k.a. Leonard Whitfield. I will pray for you. So I need to figure that out. It's probably not going to be cheap, but I need to get the computer. I need to build one that can do that. So I want to talk to Carl. Peter said he had some experience with that, but Elijah Morgan trucking through Florida, the freest, one of the freest states in America. Praise the Lord. Okay. Danny Callahan, how are you? Hope you're doing well. Well, here's what my experience has been. You are the safest place you can possibly be in the will of God, no matter if it's the lion's den. Daniel has taught us from the scriptures that you can be in the lion's den and you can be completely safe. We are sheep in the midst of wolves. So we are safe wherever God has us. Good afternoon, Joey. We are safe wherever God has us. To be in the will of God, serving God, being faithful to God. That's why I want to call him, Teresa. I got to touch base with him. I got to try to give him a call. Andrea! How are you, Andrea? How's the baby? How are the children? How's your husband? Andrea. Man, I miss everybody on here. I feel like I haven't seen you all forever. Good to hear, Danny. Good to hear you're doing well. It's good to say hi to everybody. Man, it feels like it's been forever. Remember the good old days when we could come on YouTube and nail heretics and we didn't get cut off? Remember when we could talk about the Fauci ouchie and we didn't get kicked off? Remember that? Deep service detailing. Not so fast, because Trump is making a comeback. Trump is going to start the Truth Network. So I can go on there and yell about everybody. Hey, I'm for it, man. I hope he does. I hope he takes his billions of bucks and he does it. I'm going on there. I'm going on his network if he gets one on there. Where I can say things against everybody and preach the truth. If he'll let me do it, I'll go on there. I'll go anywhere. I'm telling you, he's going to make a fortune on that. I'm telling you. Trump's billions, you ain't seen nothing yet. If he pulls this off, Trump's going to be the richest man in America. He's going to be one of the richest men in America. I'm telling you, he will be. So we'll see. But I'll go on there and broadcast. Why not? I'll go anywhere, man, and broadcast if I can. I'll talk about how I don't like Trump and how he's a shill for the New World Order. Ha! Right on there. What? Hi, Danielle. It's exactly what I'll do from my blue room. My blue room. Nobody looks at the, I told you guys, all those other ones, waste of time. Rumble, oh, I can't think of the names of the other ones. Whatever. Yin Yang or whatever that one was called. I don't know. Whatever. No. You need big money behind it. You need a big name behind it. And that's how it's going to work. And that's what I told you guys before. BitChute. YouTube. Nothing. You get a big name behind it and big money. And I told you guys this. I told you this months ago. You gotta have somebody big, big name, big money That's how it works. And that's when people use it. And Trump's the kind of guy, he'll have 80 million, he'll have 70 million users within a week. Okay? He'll have 70 million users within a week. They'll bust those servers up. It'll be so bad. Okay? That's how it's going to work. Definitely. So it'll be interesting to see. And by the way, this is not an endorsement of trust for any of these people. No, it's about the money for Trump. That's it. And he knows if he gets that network, he's going to get reelected again. Because he'll get his message out there and all the Trumpsters will be like, Trump's back! Trump! And they're just going to go like crazy. Like, it's going to be like, look, it's Michael Myers. Oh, look, a troll. Great. Sure, the one world currency is coming. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Pumpkinhead. Awesome. All right, are you guys ready to get into the Bible? Listen, my schedule, before I get to that, let me just tell you about my schedule. Gonna be a little sporadic. Commie Tube! What's up with you? It's gonna be a little sporadic. Okay? For the next couple weeks. Why? Deer season starts for me. Deer season starts next Saturday. But I have to get prepared. I have to get prepared for it. So I've been shooting, target practice, all that fun stuff, and getting ready for that, okay? So that takes a little bit of time, all right? So bear with me with that. So the next few weeks, probably going to be from the Southern Command Center, from the Blue Room. Some broadcasts like this, so I don't have to drive, you know, I don't want to say how far I drive. So I don't have to drive in and all that good stuff. My birthday is November 2nd. This week, coming up, Tuesday, is my birthday. I will be 45. Years old. Getting old. So, and then after deer season, I'm thinking about leaving for a few days on a little mini vacation with my family just to get away right before Thanksgiving, a week before Thanksgiving. Okay? So, thinking about going somewhere just for about 3 or 4 days, maybe 5, I don't know. We'll see. But, Big Whale, you send me the recipe and I'll try it, buddy. So, anyway. So, because of that, there'll be some broadcasts like this. There'll be some truck talks maybe. But that's kind of how it's going to be the month of November. So, okay. So when you see me sporadic like that, I'll get the sermons up there. All that good stuff. But some of the other things are going to be sporadic, okay? So don't worry, I'm just taking some necessary breaks. and doing some fun hunting and spending some time with my son. Be doing some of that, spending some time trying to get a deer on my property right here, which is a first for me. So would you please do me a favor? Would you pray for me that the Lord would allow me to get, I'd like a buck on this property, but I'll take a doe or a buck on this property, on our property here. Would you pray for me that God would let that happen? I would really appreciate your prayers that that would happen. Right? I would. So that'd be a blessing. All right? That'd be good. All right, let's get started here. I'm ready, man. I'm ready. Some good old Bible here for you today. Amen. Looking forward to it. Let's see. I got to turn this around. We're going this way. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. In your King James Bible, if you do not have the King James, you are in trouble. I am growing the beard out, and I think I'm going to grow it until it gets 60 degrees again after deer season, because it could surprise me get 60 again. But when it hits 60 again, I'll trim it back down. So it's good for 4 months, 5 months. Or maybe I said 70 before. 70. So it's 70 degrees. That's what I'll do. All right? 70. My wife likes it long. She wants me to grow it out. She says she likes it. Mark chapter 8. I love getting in the Bible. You know, here it is. Mark chapter 8. And we're going to discuss discipleship. We're going to discuss the irrevocable laws of being Christ's disciple. And we find that in Mark chapter 8, verse number 31. Now, this is going to go in the Mark, sermons from Mark. Section on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. It's going to go in there. So you have it and you can find it if you ever want to listen to sermons on Mark. And I got to go back and teach a bunch. I have literally got pages and pages and pages on Mark that God has given me. And I love it. And there's never enough time. But this winter, Lord willing, when it's freezing out and we get past hunting, we're going to settle in and do some studying, some reading, some more praying, and we're going to get into these sermons. You may even see me go to 3 broadcasts a week again during those cold months. Depends on how much snow I get and I got to clear it off. But, anyway, we might do that so I can add in a Bible study. All right. So anyway. You know, Jesus, when we left off of talking about Mark chapter 8, Jesus was talking to Peter. And he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter answered and saith unto him, "Thou art the Christ." And he charged them they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests, and of the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him when he had turned about and looked on his disciples. When he turned about and looked upon his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, now here's where we left off. Remember, Peter was tempted by Satan to tempt Christ. And it was to tempt him in the very areas of which is the strength and actually the irrevocable laws of being a disciple of Christ. Christ led by example. He showed us by example how to live. He instructed us how to live. He lived it for us to teach us. Okay? So here we go. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, so he's telling the people as well, not just his disciples, he's explaining to everybody what it means to be a disciple. What it means to be Christ's disciple. And this is very important for you and I to understand. I'll tell you what, if you're not careful, man, you can get messed up. Man, you can get really, really messed up if you're not careful. I'm going to plug in this phone just in case. You can get really messed up if you're not careful with this. Because you'll hear somebody preach the gospel, tell you how you can know for sure when you die you're going to heaven, but then not equate what it means to actually follow Christ. That there's a duty in that, that all true disciples have. Okay? So Christ calls his disciples with the people around him, and he said unto them, all of them, lost and saved, whosoever will come after me, number one, let him deny himself. That's the first irrevocable law of a disciple. If you are Christ's disciple, you have to deny yourself. The very looking unto Jesus is a denial of self. It is a turning away from self and taking our eyes off of self and putting them on Jesus. You know, we sometimes take these verses and we isolate them. But if you look at what Jesus was telling Peter of above, it's the very danger of not denying ourselves. And that's the danger, friend. That we are not willing to deny ourselves. These verses are preceded by Satan tempting Peter to tempt Christ. He tempted Christ to not deny himself. And to not suffer. For Christ's sake. Now, every man is going to be called, or woman is going to be called to a different degree of suffering. And in a different way. It is not all uniformed, and it is not all the same. There are things that will happen in your life that you will have to express self-denial. You know, you may be a married man and married to a woman that doesn't love you the way that she should, doesn't show affection the way that she should, or a woman married to a man that doesn't show affection the way that they should. And for you to be a good disciple of Christ and to follow Christ and his principles and what he's taught, you got to deny your flesh. And you got to love that person. You got to continue to love them. I don't know what self-denial you're going to be called to. For me, one of the major things that the Lord called me to about 4 years ago was I spent a lot of years before that. I've been saved for going on 20 years. It'll be 20 years here in March. And one of the things that the Lord laid upon my heart and showed me was, you're going to serve the Lord. You're going to serve the Lord, or you did serve the Lord in much joy. But will you serve me in sorrow? Will you serve me when you lack assurance of your salvation? Will you serve me when you have doubts and fears? Will you deny yourself when your heart is full of doubts and fears? When you go through depression, when you go through anxiety, when you go through desertion, when you go through all these things, when you have betrayal happen to you and those that are supposed to love you betray you and turn on you? Will you serve me? Will you serve me when I don't give you what you want? Will you deny yourself? Will you practice that self-denial when you are called to serve me like that? Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, you and I can think to ourselves, well, that's just in the beginning when I'm making that decision for Christ. No, friend. Your decision for Christ is proved all the way through your life. Whether you are willing to deny yourself and serve Christ. Whether you are willing to continue on. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. Whosoever will come after me. If you will come after and follow Christ, notice though, there's a coming after, there's a following. There is nothing in the scriptures that shows a man making a profession of faith and then turning right around again and leaving and having nothing to do with Christ. Well, there is. It's in Mark chapter 4, the sower that went out to sow. And the different grounds. If it's real ground, good ground, then it produces some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Amen. If it's good ground, right? There is a following after Christ. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. He is coming after Christ. She is coming after Christ. See, it's not very difficult. If you're a Christian, if you claim to be a Christian, do you follow after Christ? How do I follow after Christ? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible. I follow God's word. I have a desire to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the life. That's the coming after. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a coming after. There's a following after. Whosoever will come after me. Paul calls it a following after, just like it does in the text here later. Right? That we apprehend that which we are apprehended of. Amen? A gospel that does not change your direction is not a gospel in spirit and truth. The gospel received in the heart of the believer goes deep down into the ground. That seed dies and it rises up and it bears much fruit. It is a gospel that changes your direction. changes it. Amen? Changes it. So your direction now changes. I was going away from Christ. Now I'm going to Christ. I had gone toward the world. Now I'm turning my back on the world. Amen. It's my direction. Listen, I don't look for perfection in people, because that will fool you and it will dishearten you and it'll discourage you and deceive you. But look for not perfection, but direction. Which way are they facing? Are they facing the way of the sinless, perfect Son of God? Hallelujah. Are they going towards Jesus? Praise God. From whom all blessings flow. Amen. The gospel is the way, the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the gospel changes what you believe. It's not dead, but it's alive. Let him deny himself. The first step as the follower of Christ, when you receive Christ as your Savior, means you deny yourself. Lord, you're right about me. I'm a wicked, hell-bound sinner, and I deserve to burn in hell, and I don't want to go there, but I know I deserve it. You know you deserve it? The sorrow that fills your heart over that you know, man, that's me. The one question I had to ask myself before I got saved 20 years ago was this. Well, after that old preacher preaching, God was working on my heart for a while anyway, bringing me back to him through a lot of things. When I say back to him, I mean because when I was a child, I had learned the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make me wise, but I wasn't saved yet. But then that old preacher preached and I got to thinking, you know, I had no power over sin. It just took me and like picked me up and slammed me up and down the other, and my heart wasn't changed. I thought about that in deep, solemn soberness and sobriety. And then the Lord showed me that I deserved to go to hell, and I was going there. And then he brought me to the Savior and told me, drink deeply. Drink of the water of life freely. Amen. And then he changed my direction. See, I don't believe that I changed me. It was my godly choice. No, I believe the Lord changed me. I know what's in me. Still in me. That is in my flesh dwell. No good thing. Rotten as hell. But the Spirit of God came upon me and brought me to a place of repentance. If any man will come after me, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. The terms are fixed. They change not. Self-denial. We follow Christ. When he calls, the command given, come after me. The day you were saved, Jesus said to you, follow thou me. The sheep go after the shepherd. The soldier follows his captain. We seek the glory of God and walk in Christ's steps. Following Christ is a deliberate and joyful choice. You must follow on in self-denial and in suffering. There's self-denial and there's suffering. That's part of self-denial. See, suffering is part of that self-denial. Jesus said, look, the Son of Man, he was going to suffer. I don't know what God's going to have you suffer in this life. We may not all suffer martyrdom, but we all should be willing to suffer martyrdom. We should be willing to die for Christ's sake. But we may not all suffer martyrdom. It's not appointed unto all of us to suffer martyrdom. Out of the 11 apostles, one didn't suffer martyrdom. One lived out his life to an old man. I don't know. But we have to be willing to. Self-denial, again, is the hallmark of the disciple. It's the hallmark of good fellowship and fellowship. No man ever loved Christ who didn't follow him. No. Again, we're not speaking of perfect obedience. But Jesus said, my sheep know me. They hear my voice. They follow me. John chapter 10. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. You follow on. You know, Peter wanted Christ to spare himself. Christ spared not, but he did the opposite. He gave himself. Self-denial, again, is that hallmark. Christ was a self-emptier. Was a self-emptier. Philippians 2. Let's turn there. In your King James Bible. Philippians 2. I like this. This is about Jesus. Verse 6. Actually, let's go back up to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that's you and I. To take up our cross, to deny ourselves if we're going to follow him, to take up our cross. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He emptied himself, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, Christ emptied himself. He humbled himself. Not my will, Father, but thy will be done. I'm amazed at how all these messages are going together. This one, I'm working on Sunday's message and Wednesday night's message. All of these they just fit. That's the Holy Ghost, friend. That ain't got nothing to do with Pastor Cooley. That has everything to do with the Holy Ghost of God. Praise God for his working. Amen and amen. God knows exactly what to do. All glory to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Praise the name of Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. The Lord asked Simon, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? He asked him that over and over again. Why was he asking him that? Well, he kept asking him that because he wanted him to understand the duty that he had of self-denial. Okay? He wanted him to understand that you have a duty, and your duty is to deny yourself. That is your duty, Peter. Not only to deny yourself, there's more, but he's saying, Peter, if you're going to serve me, you're going to be a servant, not a king. One day you'll reign as priests and kings in glory. But right now, Peter, you're a servant. A beloved son, but a servant. And you are here to serve. And servants have to deny their flesh. You know, the question that Christ will ask every man that serves him, dost thou love the applause and flattery of men more than me? Dost thou love comfort more than me? Do you love the gifts of God more than you do God? Do you love the blessings of God more than you do God? Do you crave the blessings of God, or do you crave the gifts of God more than you crave the presence of God and his power and his person. You will be tested by that. God will test you. If you make an idolater out of his gifts and his callings and comfort and peace and assurance, God will test you. Do you love prestige and honor and reputation? What do you say to Peter? Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my lambs. Peter, feed my sheep. He tells Peter later, you know, Peter, you're used to being comfortable and going about and doing your own thing and not denying your flesh. But Peter, that's not where you're going to find peace. I'm going to talk about that tonight. Don't miss tonight's sermon. I think it's going to be 7:30 Central Time, PM, 7:30 PM Central Time. We're going to talk about strengthening the disciples. Amen. So don't miss that. It'll be a blessing to you. There is no being a disciple without self-denial, without sorrow, without suffering. But next he says something to them. We're going to turn back to Mark chapter 8. Okay. Mark chapter 8. And whosoever will come after me, verse number 34, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Second, irrevocable law of being Christ's disciple. Second one. And take up his cross. Take up his cross. See, let me give you a little bit of historical background, if you will, okay? And here's what it is. When Jesus looked out at the crowd, at the time of Jesus' lifespan, it is reported that 30,000 people in that area had been crucified on crosses by the Roman government. 30,000 in Jesus' lifetime. A few years before Jesus was crucified, I think it was like hundreds of them were crucified. So, I mean, we understand Jesus being on the cross, okay? But for them, it was fresh in their mind while Jesus is preaching this. And, oh, I remember the man down the road that was brutally crucified by Rome for thievery. Or for murder. Or for extortion, or for rising up against the Roman government, treason. And they knew the brutality of the cross. So when you and I think about that, I want you, Jesus is preaching them, he's saying, and take up his cross. What is he saying then? This is not your best life now. This is not going to be a pleasant life. See, Satan offers you to live in your flesh forever a sinner. Ye shall not surely die. You're going to live a great life. Live it up and have a good time. But what does Jesus say about the Christian walk? It's a cross. It's a death. It's a death to self. The cross that you are called to take up is a death to self. It is a dying to self. You are carrying around your death blow. You may very well die for being a Christian. You may very well die as a child of God because of that. It was dangerous to be a Christian. It still is today. In China, it's a death sentence. In places like that, they're death sentences. That's what it means to take up your cross. Now, also, it means emotionally, spiritually, we're to die to sin, die to self, die to those things. Be crucified. That's what he's talking about. So Paul says, to be crucified in the flesh. I just quoted you that verse, but we'll quote it again. Galatians 2:20, I believe it is. I am crucified with Christ. Paul's saying that I take up my cross. Now, Jesus said take it up daily. In Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, he says daily. Daily. Take up your cross. Daily. You're carrying around your death sentence when you're carrying around your cross. That's what it meant. They had to carry their cross. Remember when Christ carried his cross and they had the other man come in, the malefactor come in and carry it for him? Yeah. That's a denial of self. That's the crucified life. That's what it is. Right? Mark chapter 8 again. Take up his cross. So the cross was a symbol of death and terror. It's to identify with Christ. The cross is death to self, suffering, death to persecutions and trials, and a redemption and a waiting of the glory of God. Each one of us has our own cross to bear, peculiar to us and our needs. No man will feel it like you will. There's going to be a cross in your life. I said this last week. You're going to come to a place in your life as you serve Jesus, and you're going to take up your cross, and you're going to come to a deep ditch. You're going to come to some place, and you're going to see that cross there, and you're going to have to decide whether you're going to pick it up, or you're going to try to walk around it, or you're going to turn around and go another way. But Jesus said, you can't be my disciple if you don't take up your cross daily. Daily. Take it up. Daily. You can't. You'll never do it. You'll never be able to if you don't take it up daily. You'll never follow him in spirit. You cannot be his disciple. He said that. And no man will feel that cross like you have. I don't know what your cross is. God didn't give me your cross. He gave me mine. Some of you will have crosses. You'll have things that are going to test your very faith and practice in the Lord as you continue to walk with Him. Something that is so challenging. In your Christian life, that you're going to be tempted to turn back. You're going to be tempted to despair. You're going to be tempted to utterly despair. You're going to be tempted to doubt God. You're going to be like, you're in danger of being like Mark chapter 4 talks about. Right? These likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they had heard the word immediately received it with gladness and have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended and these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. I know people that they were offended and they quit on God and they walked away. They were what I call, and you can listen to my sermon, I preached on it. They were John 666 disciples. John 666. Come on. They're not real. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They quit. But they weren't his true disciples. And how do we know that? Because that was Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 8, he explained it. He says, you take up your cross and you follow me. And you follow him. You don't just take up your cross and turn around and go back the other way. You don't just take up your cross and stand still. You don't just take up your cross and not do anything with it. Nope. You take up your cross and you follow him. You're following him with your cross. You bear your cross and you follow him through it all. This is why you have to deny yourself. You rejoice in afflictions. You take up your cross and you follow him. And you continue to follow him. Let's see. Let me get you something here. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Look, that is not that far away. That is in John chapter 8, verse number 31, right? He explains it later on. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You continue. I do not believe that those John 6:66 disciples see Jesus in his glory. Once they turn back and they never come back, when they never come back and they went out from us because they were not of us, for had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out from us and it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They leave. What did Jesus say here? John 8:31, I'll read it to you again. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. See, Simon, the Bible says Simon, the sorcerer, believed and was baptized, but he did not continue. Nope. He turned. He turned. Because Mark 4 talks about that, right? You know, they believed that they, but by and by, they, with anon and anon with joy, they received it. But then when affliction come, when persecution come, they did not take up their cross. They dropped it and they walked away. By the way, I'm not saying they lost their salvation. I'm saying they weren't saved to begin with. Get it? They didn't lose anything. They didn't have it. They walked away. They walked away. God will show you. The one thing God showed me when my whole world turned upside down and my brain scrambled like eggs on a sidewalk, he showed me that he was able to make me stand. That it wasn't in my flesh. And it wasn't in my strong spiritual warfare. And it wasn't in my strength or my might. But it was in his might. And his power. And his grace. And all glory shall go to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. All strength and might is breathed in. Amen. You have to take up what's called, and I preached on this years ago, it's called the Disciples' Cross. Somewhere. You can find it on YouTube or sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. You can find the Disciples' Cross. Because that's the cross. We don't take up Christ's cross. He said, take up his cross, your cross. There's a cross for you. There will be many crosses for you. There will be many losses for you in this Christian life. But I ask it of our people all the time in our youth, and I'm asking you the same thing. What will it take you? What will it take to make you turn from Christ? What will it take to make you give up and walk away? May the answer in spirit and truth be nothing. For Lord Jesus, thou hast the words of life. Whither shall we go? There is nowhere to go. Where can I go but to the Lord, living below in this old sinful world? And hardly a comfort for the soul. But to take up the cross, and to follow Christ and to be his disciple. Jesus goes on in Mark chapter 8. Right? We see this. So number one, the irrevocable laws of discipleship. Whosoever will come after me. Number one, they must come after him. Stop making just some little profession of faith and then never coming after him. No, they come after him. Number two, they deny themselves. Number three, they take up their cross. Number four, they follow him with that cross. See, it's interesting, but when you look at Paul's life, God gave Paul some thorns later on in his ministry. He gave him some thorns that he would serve God with. The messenger of Satan to buffet him. And I don't believe it was sin either. It was a thorn. And God gave him those thorns. And those thorns, that he gave him, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. That Paul wasn't allowed to draw back into perdition, but pressing on, moving forward. That's why Paul said to press, he pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He kept pressing forward. He kept moving forward for Christ. He kept going. Right? Verse number 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. Right? We must not deny Christ to save our own skin, to give ourselves comfort, to make our lives easier. We must not compromise the scriptures to make our own lives easier. But we must follow hard after Christ. We're to persevere and preserve our lives through the gospel, not preserve them at any cost. Skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his own life. But we're to keep pressing on. We're to keep moving on. We're to keep serving God. Goodness, I got more here. Oh, wait. Okay, let's see here. I do. Wait, there's more. Taking up your cross is conforming to Christ's life. Your whole life as a Christian will be to take up your cross daily, to follow after Christ, and for your life to be conformed to Christ's life. Jesus saved you. The Father sent the Son to save your soul. And the Holy Ghost of God indwells you for the purpose of conforming you to the image of Christ. That's why he saved you. He didn't save you to deliver you from hell. I mean, you get that, praise God. And that may be the first notion you have of God, is crying out to him to save you from hell. But saving you from hell glorifies Jesus Christ. But he takes that life and he regenerates it and he makes that man a new creature and he makes that man to look like Jesus. He conforms him to the image of Christ. So all of your lifetime, while you are saved, you are constantly being conformed, being formed. The clay is being formed into the image of Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, is painful because you and I are wicked as hell. See, Satan tells me if we follow him, we'll not surely die. Jesus speaks right away of losing our lives for the gospel's sake. Jesus just lays it out for you. You might very well die for the gospel's sake. Jesus gives no pretense. When he's standing before the saved and the lost in Mark chapter 8, he warns them, listen to me. Christianity can be a death sentence to you in this life, but life eternal. It means we'll lay down our lives or forfeit our comforts for the gospel's sake. He that loseth his life through all discomforts, through all trials, through all afflictions. We serve Christ, never turning back. See, so do you see how Satan doesn't just tempt a man not to come to Christ, but after he comes to Christ, he tempts him to not take up his cross and to not suffer. He tempts him to not do that. You will always be tempted not to deny yourself. Always in your dealings with people to become overly offended and make a big deal about everything. Tempted to do that. Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very much so. To tempt you from not being willing to suffer. Not to deny yourself. For what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his own soul? The eternal being of man, not to just enjoy this life and enjoy the sin of this life and pleasure of sin for a season. See, that's what happened with Eve and Adam and Eve. Satan hid the consequences. Lied to them. You shall not surely die. And they did die. They didn't die immediately. Just like a criminal when he commits a crime and he's convicted of that crime. He doesn't die immediately. There's a time lapse between the sentence against him and the judgment against him and the sentence. The truth is, you and I, in 100 years, all of us under the sound of my voice, will more than likely be in the grave, our bodies. More than likely, we'll be dead. All of us. I'm 45. I don't know any man that's lived to be 145. So within 100 years' time, everybody under the sound of my voice is going to be dead. So choose you this day whom you will serve. If the Lord be God, then follow him. What shall it profit a man? What can he give in exchange for his own soul? Nothing. So Christ is saying true discipleship. There's irrevocable laws to it that don't change. They cannot change. God never changes who he is. They are irrevocable laws and they absolutely cannot and will not change. If you will be his disciple, and by the way, there is no such thing as a man or a woman that is a true believer in Christ that is a true believer in Christ that is not a disciple of him. All true believers in Jesus Christ are disciples and follow him. All of them. That's not for my words. Those are Jesus' words. And all you have to do is study that out. And that does not compromise the free grace of God at all. Not one bit. Why? For it is The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God working in that man, woman. It's God's grace, right? Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's the life. That's what grace does. Grace is the greatest teacher of all. It teaches us what the law could not do. Jesus Christ came. If you're listening to me and you've never been saved, if you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I beg you, in Christ said, be ye reconciled unto God. Have your sins forgiven. Turn from your sin and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you have trusted him, again, don't think what I preach to you was this sinless perfection. Because I'm not. I'm preaching you a sinless direction. The direction. That God wants you to go, that you should be going, that you are going if you're a child of God. And you will be tried, my friend. And you will be, that metal will be tested. It'll be tested. It'll be tried. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you all. I hope that was a blessing to you. Good Bible study on some verses there. I got more coming in the book of Mark. I mean, tons of, man, I got a ton of them. Amen. So I'm looking forward to teaching and preaching a lot of these to you and helping you with some Bible studies and things like that. We'll get back to our COVID studies too over on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, since I'm not allowed to teach on COVID over here because they cut me off. But anyway, pray for us. We are going back to the largest Halloween, or the Halloween capital of the world again, up in Anoka to preach this weekend. So pray for us as we do that, okay? Pray for the Lord to bless us. Keep us safe. Oh, let me give you an update. Last week, we handed out 2,100 tracts. 2,100 tracts. And preached the gospel to thousands of people last weekend at that night parade. Amen. So we hope to get out 3,000 tracts this week and preach to thousands more people at the day parade. You pray for us, if you would please, about that. That the Lord would continue to bless us as we do that. Also, if you'd like to support our ministry, number one, pray for us. Number two, you may give to our ministry through PayPal, salvationpreacher@gmail.com, or pastorcooley@icloud.com. You can PayPal us, or you can mail us something. And that address is down at the bottom of sermonaudio.com/pastorcooley. Or actually, and I do this Apple Pay thing now, which is kind of cool. I don't use it that often. Just one person kind of does that. But I haven't anybody, maybe two people have used it so far. I don't know. I don't know a lot of people use it. But anyway, it's kind of cool. But I appreciate that. Some of you have written to me asking me about COVID exemption forms. I'm praying about that, but I don't really do too much with that. I haven't done anything with that. I haven't written anything up or anything like that. So it isn't really something that I've done at all or had anything to do with. So I'm not trying to be unkind or flippant or anything like that, but I haven't done anything with that. It hasn't been an issue for any of us. So, you know, and looking at it, I just haven't really got too involved with that. So, you know, and then some people wanted me to call them back. Some people had called me, and I'll try to get a hold of them this week here sometime. I am busy, and stuff like that this week, but, every week. You know, but anyway, I appreciate the prayers and the comments and the emails and all those things. Thank you so much for them. Teresa said that she's got some sample forms and things like that that could be used. It's hard for me. I mean, people want me to vouch for them. I don't even, if I don't know you and you're not a member of my church, it's kind of hard for me. I mean, I don't, how can I do that? I don't know you. You know, you're asking me to vouch for somebody. I know people feel like they know me because they listen to me all the time, but I don't know you. You know what I mean? I don't know anything. I don't know you. So thanks for the coffee, Peter. I haven't tried that one yet. I will try it tomorrow. I forgot to try it. I had so much other coffee, but I will. So it's not that I want to be unkind to anybody. It's just that I don't know who you are. You know, so anyway. But all right, everybody, I'm going to get out of here. I got to go for a walk and pray and get ready for tonight. I will try to go live from the street this weekend, okay, at the parade. I'll try to go live there. I may do another video this week. I just don't know. Maybe tomorrow. Probably not Friday, but maybe tomorrow. Okay? So anyway, but I may do another one. I've got plenty of study material. That's the kind of nice thing. But anyway, God bless you all. Take care. And tonight, 7 p.m. or 7:15, 7:30 Central Time p.m. We'll be live on servantaudio.com/Pastor Cooley or on our website, oldpathsbaptistchurch.org or opbc.org. If you go there, you can find our live stream at 7:30 p.m. Central. All right. God bless you all. Take care.